Let's talk about the Central City Improvement District. I happen to be one of those people with an apartment in town, and I got to tell you, I feel unsafe walking towards it. I really do. So you end up walking in the city centre, and they're just all these people begging you and asking you for stuff and harassing you. Now, I feel sorry for people who are on our streets. I think we need to treat them with dignity. But when people start getting rude and start abusing you, then that is where one draws the line. So I'm very keen to see what the CCID report reveals. And you are joined by the CEO of Boxwood Properties and also the chairperson of the CCID, Rob Kane. How has it been, man? It's been, what, 350 years?
Morning, Keno. Yeah, it's been a long time, actually. we still seem to be doing pretty well, actually.
No, indeed. Rob, so tell us, just give us the report that you've released, the scope of this particular report and the work that's gone into it.
Okay. Thanks, Keno. This is the eighth year we've done the State of the Central City report. And if you really look at it, what we are talking about is this a good investment map for Cape Town? So investors and retailers and tenants, office tenants, can go through that report and they can pretty much identify in the city where they want to be. And they can also look at what other amenities are there. You know, if you're a retailer, you can look at what other shops are there that compete with you or that might complement you. So I know a lot of the banks and developers and investors use that report. And it, to be honest, it's also just a very good read and gives you a really good feel for what's going on in the city. Mm. And also a good benchmark year on year. This is our eighth year. So you can stack up eight of these reports and you can see how well we're doing or not doing, as the case may be.
Yeah, absolutely. And what were the findings of the latest report? I mean, we've had a lot of our listeners, I say a lot of them, more than just a handful, complaining about the CBD, complaining about the foreshore area and how unsafe they feel there, because that does fall under CCID.
Sure. Let me deal with that first, Keno, because I think it's quite an important issue. There's a couple of things. One is the reality is that with COVID, it has been really tough times. So I think you are finding more homeless people on the street.
Yeah.
In terms of combating that with the city, I don't know if you know, there's a safe spaces in town where if you are homeless, you can go there at night and you can get some sort of relief and you can get a bed to sleep on.
Yes.
So that is 250 people in that every night. So, you know, there are a lot of work's been done to ameliorate that. But the reality is it's been tough. You know, the economy's tough. If one looks at the jobless figures that are coming out, that is our reality. Now, another thing that is important is that there have been less office workers in the city, but there haven't been a reduction in the number of homeless.
Yes.
So before, the vast majority of people on the street would be people walking to and from their work or going for a coffee at lunchtime or something like that. In other words, kind of economically active people with jobs. Obviously, with COVID, that dropped dramatically. And I mean, at one stage, we probably had, well, at one stage, no people in the city except the homeless. And then kind of 10-15%. And as I said, we're tracking that number quite closely, and it's increasing every week. And once people come back into their offices, which we are encouraging people to do, and we've done quite a bit of research that says people are actually wanting to come back now, and we're seeing the reality of that. But once the city is back to functioning as a normal city, one is not going to see that disparity. In other words, there'll be a lot more office workers on the street, and that won't be so apparent. The other thing that's important to note is that right throughout lockdown, the CID has functioned 100%. We employ directly and indirectly probably 620 people. Every single one of those people has been at work. So the 300 security guards that are on the street 24 hours a day, those have been there. So I think there has been a perception that there are more homeless people on the street. But I think the reality is there appear to be more homeless people simply because there are less office workers on the street. So we've certainly seen a reduction of crime, which is counterintuitive to what your listeners are saying. We've seen a reduction in crime.
I think the perception. So you've got numbers, right? In terms of, and you'll probably see a reduction in crime because there weren't people running around going to ATMs in the. in the CBD, right? So, I mean, if I'm not running around going to the CBD, there's no one to scare me. So, you're definitely going to see a reduction in that. But I think it's the perception that people feel unsafe. And not every homeless person is a thug. Not every homeless person is going to try and rob you. Some people are just awesome people who just through circumstances, through addiction, through whatever, they find themselves on the street. We need to treat them with compassion.
That's the truth, And I agree with it.
It is essential. But listen, that's for another day. We can have a longer chat with you and Mo and whoever. But let's talk about this particular report. Let's look at the – let's break it down. So you do this report. You say a lot of businesses look at it. There might be people who also want to buy a property in the in the CBD, even private property, and invest because they might have some disposable income even after lockdown. So let's talk about it.
Okay. One interesting statistic which really surprised us is in the 2019 year, because obviously it's always a year in review, we had about 13.8 billion rands of investment into the city centre. Wow. So that is a mix of completed developments that are under construction, developments that are planned, and developments that are proposed. We counted it yesterday. That's 38 developments that are going on in the city. It's a staggering number of work that's going on. So there is an underlying confidence in the city centre that we are seeing come through.
That is good.
The other figure which was really a standout for us is the valuation, and it's done by the city council. It's not done by us. So it's a realistic view on what property values are. For 2018-2019 was 44.1 billion.
Wow.
Now, I think you were around in the city in 2006. The rates base then, the value of property in the city center area that the city operates was 6 billion. So from 2006 to now, it's gone from 6 billion to 44.1 billion.
Gee.
One translates that into jobs, it's actually huge. It really is.
Listen, I remember years and years and years ago, nobody would dare walk around in the city of Cape Town. And then and then we started with that rent-a-cop thing, and, you know, we heard that Pick n Pay is moving, you know, a store into the city. I mean, I'm obviously very old. I remember this stuff. And over the years...
Not as old as me.
Catching up, Rob, catching up. And it's just been phenomenal. I mean, even your portfolio, I mean, your other hat you're wearing is CEO of Boxwood Property. You guys brought more than a billion rand into the city. I mean, how many buildings do you own in the CBD at the moment?
We had about 1.4 billion. And, you know, we are proceeding with three of our developments now. The one we've put on hold, it's a very large development. It'll probably be 20, 25 stories. But the other three, we're proceeding with them because we do have confidence in what's happening in the city. We have scaled them down a bit, and I think that's appropriate. But we are proceeding with them. So, you know, we've got construction teams, we've got design teams busy with them at the moment. And, you know, we're seeing that with a lot of other developers as well. You know, COVID has really forced all of us to just take a step back and say, well, okay, what do we really need here? And what does the market need? And I think that's a very healthy thing. You know, no one ever likes change, Kino, but it's always good because it does trigger entrepreneurial activity.
Exactly.
And it you know, the same continuum, and I think office market is perhaps a perfect example, is really changing the way we do things and the amount of flexibility we need to offer people. But do you remember when COVID first hit, and in the first 2 or 3 months, people were saying, well, the office market is completely dead. We've done a huge amount of research, both in the SID and Boxford.
Yes.
And we're very, very confident that the office market is here to stay. The change is coming, and I think they're good changes, and they will benefit those landlords that are adaptable and prepared to work with those changes. But you know, there have been crises over hundreds of thousands of years, or many thousands of years, and yet city centres have still grown. They haven't shrunk and dispersed.
You know, I agree. I mean, we had 2008, and everybody thought, oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. We sort of kind of recovered from that. Obviously, this has been, I think, of a much, much greater scale, but it has opened up eyes. Now, I mean, I would imagine, as Boxwood, how many buildings do you own? Six?
Seven.
Okay. We can't keep up with you guys anymore. So seven buildings in the CBD. Those buildings represent either bigger corporates, medium-sized businesses, maybe even smaller businesses within the market, right? What about, and this is a discussion I've been having over months on this particular show, connecting those bigger businesses with the micro-entrepreneurs in and around the city to provide non-core services into those particular buildings? Because you know what, you actually own big buildings, right? You do. You need to tick your BEE box. And then you need to get cleaning services. And where do you go? You go to Bidvest. Because Bono Mahali and friends have a level 1 triple BEE, and it's a tick box exercise, Rob. And then Bidvest comes in, and they're efficient and they clean. But in reality, what happens is the money still keeps circulating in, you know, Santon, in Houghton, in wherever. So...
Okay.
Can
I talk to this?
Absolutely.
Firstly, I mean, Kino, you're right. You know, when you look at me as an individual, it's not immediately apparent that Boxford is level 2 BE, but we are. And that philosophy, if you come into our offices, you'll see that philosophy folds through all of our businesses.
Brilliant.
The other thing that we spend a lot of time doing is working with young entrepreneurs. Perfect example is we used to go and have some sushi in the one restaurant every day, and the guy said to us, haven't you got a job for us? Haven't you got a job for me? So we thought about it, and we bought a building, and it didn't have a park, it didn't have a car wash in it. So we installed that guy, and we put in rainwater tanks so that he doesn't use to use municipal water. Bought him a vacuum cleaner, and we paid him a salary, I think, for 4 months to get him going.
Wow.
He now, I think he supports four families.
Brilliant.
You know, we have a micro-vegetable guy who came to us and wanted to rent space from us on one of the balconies. So we said, no, we won't do that, but we'll give you a rooftop. And he said, well, what's the rent? And we said, well, R1. So he now grows micro-vegetables, and he then supplies those to all of the restaurants in our buildings, obviously other restaurants as well. So there's a tremendous amount that goes on that a lot of business people, you know, don't really talk about. But all of the people I know in business are doing this sort of thing.
Good.
You know, we support a boxing gym, and people say, well, why a boxing gym? You know, for many people, for them to get to be professional is their only way out of the gutter.
Yes, indeed.
And that's why we do that.
You're the wrong oak for me to talk to about this, because...
No, you're the right oak, because there are lots of people like me doing this.
And this is good. Then those stories, Rob, need to come out. And I encourage you to tell those business people that you operate with, right, or you have meetings with, etc., in the way you do things. And I know the guys from Spear 8 Properties do the same thing. I mean, they host a Rumby and etc. Quinton and the guys.
Good guys.
And if you can get me, and I challenge you, and big corporates out there, I challenge you to bring me these stories.
Thank you.
No, it's all. I'm not gonna. This is not about cornering you. This is about me saying. We've got so much doom and gloom, and we talk about these bloody politicians all the time, and I'm sick and tired of it. If we can talk about what we're actually doing and what is actually working, it's something I would be very willing to host on the show. So If you guys can share those stories with us, because the perception still is that big business doesn't do enough. Maybe they're not doing enough to turn the needle, but we have to start somewhere, right? And I think what you're doing and what you're saying right now needs to be shared.
Yeah,
so I've got a
I'm aware of so many businesses that are doing stuff like this, and you're right. Nobody really stands up and shouts about it, but there's a lot going on.
But they must shout, Robert.
It really is.
They must shout.
Mm. Yeah, but it's always a bit embarrassing, isn't it? But I mean, I think it's a valid point. Maybe if people spoke out more about that, then it would actually trigger more activity.
Yes, and you'd encourage, you know, not everybody's doing it. There's obviously enough people that you know is doing it, but if we can encourage other businesses to get involved, then why not?
I think your point is a good one, Keenan. I must be honest, something that irritates me, being chairman, as I said, is people often sit at a braai or whatever and they say they should do this or they should do that. Mm. And there is no they. You know, I think what COVID has taught us is there's us.
Yes.
And one thing that we've noticed is there's been a lot more collaboration.
Great.
In the city and in Boxwood, and particularly working with the city and province and all of our tenants. We've got a lot more out of it by collaborating than we have by just sitting in a corner and doing things ourselves.
Love it. But Rob Kane, always great chatting to you. My team tells me, you know, get Rob on again. We're going to need to have another longer conversation with him, which we will. But always a pleasure. Always great being in touch. That is Rob Kane, the CEO of Boxwood Properties and chairperson of the Central City Improvement District.